Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. The Grow Show is brought to you by Marty Grinder's Grow Group, where we specialize in teaching landscaping companies how to clarify their platform, grow their people, build their processes, and realize profits. Everything we teach is grounded in real experience. Our team is actively involved in the day-to-day operations of Southwest Ohio's Grinder Landscaping Company. New episodes of The Grow Show are released weekly on Wednesdays. Remember to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Now, here's your host, Marty Grinder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grinder from The Grow Group and Grinder Landscaping Company, bringing you another impactful episode of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. This week, we're going to talk with a dynamic husband and wife duo of Ryan and Annette McCarthy from RJ Lawn and Landscaping in Des Moines, Iowa. But first, a reminder, you can get the latest edition of The Grow Show delivered to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts or watch us on YouTube for an enhanced learning experience. The Grow Show is the greatest thing since making new friends. A couple of weeks ago, I went to lunch with a landscaping client of ours that listens to The Grow Show. Brian from our leadership team met with him, and he came back and said, "Marty, you have a fan of The Grow Show, and he's not even a landscape pro." And I'm like, "What? Get out of here. Who's listening to The Grow Show that's not a landscaper? How can that be?" Brian said, "Hey, could you just send him an email and say hello?" So I did that, and I went one better. I asked him if when I was in our Cincinnati office, because that's where he is, would he go to lunch? And he said yes. I wasn't after anything, folks. Well, okay, I did want to know where he heard about The Grow Show and how he ended up watching and becoming a fan of The Grow Show when he's not even a landscaper, but that was really all I was after. Folks, I found that when you make friends, you make sales, and when you do nothing, nothing happens. As a result of meeting this gentleman, I've got a new friend. I've learned all about his unique business. I've learned what my business could work on to get better based on his feedback of working with us. I laughed a little bit. So to David, who's listening to this, my new friend, thank you. Thank you for making the time for me. I know you think that I helped you, but you helped me a ton. Folks, again, let me say it. When you do nothing, nothing happens. Instead of eating lunch by yourself or being afraid to meet people, put your best foot forward and look for new people to meet. It's fun, and your business will improve from ideas you gain and grow from the sales you will make to all these new friends. Now on to this week's edition of The Grow Show, powered by Steel. Speaking of friends, with me today are the hosts of Grow 2024 in Des Moines, Iowa, arguably the greatest day in Iowa in 2024 because it was like 55 degrees when it could have been, I think 2 weeks prior, Annette and Ryan, it was negative 13. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
I mean, I still look back on that and I just
got really lucky.
I know. Unbelievable. So how are both of you doing? You know, there's several people. We're getting more and more listeners every month. Let's get to know a little bit about your business. Tell us a little bit about each of you personally and about RJ, please. Ryan, why don't you go first?
Sure. Well, first off, I mean, sounds like you're trending, Marty. So congratulations.
I don't know if I'm trending, but for an old guy, I've got some people that want to listen to me, which is a good thing, I think. Thanks.
It's a great thing. About 26 years ago, we started RJ, and then I started with a previous partner, and we went through a lot of struggles and a lot of changes over those years. But eventually, especially over the last 10 years, we really got some momentum and we grew up from just two guys with a pickup truck and mowers to, we're about 110 team members at this point, doing around 14 million. And,
amazing.
It's been an interesting year, for us, but, it's been fun.
Fantastic. Annette, fill in the gaps.
Yeah. On the personal side, you know, people are always like, how do you guys actually work together? Right. I think part of it is that's how we met. So I joined the business and worked in the fields when they were maybe 2 or 3 years old as a company. When I was in college, I went off and worked for a construction company. And then as RJ kept growing, you know, we saw this opportunity that we could really make it go if we added some layers to what they were doing, you know, some job costing and, you know, office support. And so, I came into the business, back to the business in 2008. And then, we kind of figured stuff out. And in 2015, we were ready to take it somewhere else.
Well, you have figured a lot out. Remind everyone of how we met, because I remember I came and I worked with you. Did I first come see you maybe in 2016?
In 2015, we actually, Ryan had joined a peer group.
Okay.
Kind of dipped his toes in. It wasn't yours.
Right.
It was a different one, but it wasn't a really good fit. And he saw the idea of it, that it could be really good, but was looking for somebody else. So he sleuthed you out, and the two of us went and visited Grow at Completely in Sculpture in 2015.
Okay, that was in Dallas, which we're going to be back at in February.
It's kind of full circle.
That is a full circle. Yeah. Okay.
So our idea was to kind of vet you out, make sure you weren't, some sort of crackpot, and we really wanted to vet you
or con artist,
get your advice.
Right. Exactly.
So we liked what we saw, and then we had engaged you to come and just help us on an individual basis. And then obviously later, joined peer group, and we've gone to a lot of grows, obviously honored to host it in 2024. And it's been a great experience knowing you and having you help other businesses.
It's been a great experience to know you too. Thank you. You're awesome. And I've told you this, and I mean this sincerely. I love my wife. We've been married 32 years. We get along great. I don't think we could work together. I just don't. And not because of her, because of me. I'm a psychopath. And I just admire you two so much for that. If you have arguments, I haven't seen them. And I've been in a lot of discussions with you. And you have a terrific marriage. And I just, when I think of you two, I think of your business success. But I also think of your marital success and how you've made both of them work. I don't think it's easy to do what you two have done. And I think it's awesome.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Tell us how business is going, and has anything changed since we've been there in February of 2024? Ryan, you said it's been an interesting year. Tell us a little bit about that. Give us some insight to the business mix. You already said sales are 14 million. Tell us how it's going since we were last there, for those of you that were at Grow, and even for those that weren't there. How you doing?
Overall, we've had a good year. I can't complain about it. We started out pretty rough with weather this year for us. We were down about $1.5 million in snow.
That's tough.
So that was that's a tough mountain to climb out of, and super proud of our team of, just taking, we always talk about how to eat the elephant, right? And, one bite at a time. And that's been our motto all year long. I mean, we've just been kind of just piecing away at it. And I think we'll hit our goals. We're going to be maybe a little bit tight on them. We might be a little bit flat comparatively what we wanted to. We had literally the wettest July in history in Iowa, which is highly unusual. And so getting some of the construction projects closed out and finished up on time, it's been challenging. But overall, I can't complain. I have a little bit of a distraction. We're building our facility that we talked about.
I think I can see it over your right shoulder.
That's the corner of it. It's a 20,000 square foot concrete tilt-up warehouse. I'm GCing that project myself, which has been more of a challenge than what I thought it was going to be, or it's taken more of my time than what I anticipated. But all things considered, with that many different things coming from that many different angles, we've embarked on EOS as well, which has been truly beneficial. It was something that we really needed for our people to drive, our guardrails farther down and have more decision makers within the company. But it's been hard for sure. Just coming up with the quarterly goals and everything that, the EOS system uses, it's been fun, but definitely it's been a big challenge. So, a lot of exciting things. It's just a lot all at once, which is somehow always a great idea to me. And that doesn't always like that, but
I get it. And the new bill, go ahead, Annette.
I was going to say, as much as it's been a distraction, for Ryan's time to be out there, I also think that's, I won't usually admit it to him, but I'm on air, so I got to know. It's kind of been good for the rest of our team because it really helped us push other people into our sales director.
I see.
That's a big part. That's probably the biggest change we've made since 2024 Grow.
Yep.
Is moving Ryan out of that role, which you know, we all know needed to happen. But as he took on these extra responsibilities, it really kind of brought that to light. Your DM EOS, we saw a good fit. So one of our existing team members has taken over sales, and we rolled it out August 4th to the rest of the team after, you know, prepping for it a lot. And I think it's going really well.
That's fantastic. I've seen a similar experience. When I got out of the way, we were able to grow. So Ryan, Maybe we had the same disease. Annette, you and Ryan have decidedly different roles in the company. Can you share what each of you do and how you've made it work there? Again, a lot of married couples can't do what you're doing. How do you set up the boundaries? How's this working? Talk about your roles. Why don't you start, Annette? Ryan can fill in the blanks.
Sure. So Ryan is the CEO president, as he always was before. And then as we've taken him out of this sales role, he really gets to be the visionary of our company. It's really what he's good at. It's what people look to him for. You know, he's our holdings company. We actually just renamed to Random Holdings LLC. And the image is a squirrel because that very much describes him, right? Like there's something new all the time. So to allow him to have
innovator.
That. Yep. Yeah. So to have those ideas and keep those flowing. Is really what he does, and then supports obviously our production managers because he's been in the business, got a lot of industry knowledge there, and is kind of their, you know, backbone for them when they need advice. Myself, I operate as the COO, and in the EOS world, we call it the integrator.
Right.
So essentially, my role is to support the rest of our team with, you know, actual things we can do in our systems, our accounting, how are we going to report on these goals. You know, figuring out how the data can drive that. And then also, you know, keeping that visionary in check a little bit. Yeah. It's great to have lots of good ideas, but sometimes we got to table some of them and just focus on, okay, here's the one we're going to focus on first. Right. And then, you know, he has the ideas. I figure out how we're going to do them.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Annette, your degree's in English, right?
Yes.
And I have encountered a lot of people that are English majors. They might as well be engineering majors in terms of their thought process. Like everything builds off something else. We don't leapfrog things. There has to be structure. There's foundations to a sentence, to writing other that. I think it's an ideal background to have for the integrator that you are. The fact that you're a married couple and are doing the innovator and the integrator are married, it's very unique and it's awesome. And I've told you this many times, Annette. I mean, you're a gem in the industry in terms of a female leader and what you're doing. It's awesome to hear and see what you're doing. Ryan, what did she miss?
You know, as far as working together, to me, I mean, how many times have you been with colleagues or friends and, you know, they're complaining about where their wife works or, you know, the role that they play within that. And to me, that was always been a focus for me is to make sure that it stays on a professional level, that I'm not that person that those people are complaining about. And even though we're married, just staying in our own lanes, you know, I don't get into the accounting software and start dabbling and thinking, you know, maybe I should make some journal, you know, that's not my role within the company. It's not what I need to do.
I can see Annette smiling.
You know,
panic is what I was thinking.
I think she's pretty happy you're not doing that, Ryan.
And, you know, it's just understanding and knowing that. And you know, if we both kind of stay in our lanes, there's more than enough things going on in our organization that, you know, it's not like we're in the same office literally or
that is so interacting. Well said, Ryan. There's, you've got your fill of challenging tasks and things you like doing. And so does Annette. And it's important to stay in the lane.
Yep. You know, staying focused on what our task at hand is. And then, you know, communicating in a professional way. Because the other thing that's always bothered me is seeing those, you know, husband-wife relationships in a workplace that don't keep it professional. It's always felt like that. That feels very tacky to me and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right?
And kudos to you for having emotional intelligence and self-awareness and whatever other adjective you want to use to describe that. I'm sure both of you have been on a sales call when the spouses disagreed and they got into it in front of you and you're like, what am I in the middle of here? It's very uncomfortable. It's not fun. And you're right, it's not professional. And I love what you said. And you're right, because I didn't complain too much about my wife's job as a kindergarten teacher. I always enjoyed it, but I don't want to, I can see how your driving force is. You don't want to be a workplace there where your wife's complaining that she has to go to work. You would hope she'd say, I want to go to work. And just from what I see the two of you do, your growth, your excitement, the way you treat each other, I think you wake up in the morning and you, I mean, I don't want to say you sprint to work, but I think you like going into work. That's my take.
Yeah,
for sure. I mean, what's the point of it if you don't enjoy the place you built?
Right, exactly.
And if you don't, you should figure that out, build it differently.
Very true. So you've grown tremendously in the last 10 years. Annette, I was fortunate enough to talk you into joining me on a webinar I put on for Aspire. And you were my favorite interview, to be honest with you. I'm not trying to patronize you. I just liked what you had to say about leadership. And I'm curious, when I reflect back, it's been 10 years since I was there. I am not taking credit for your success, because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, I've been given the same lessons pretty much for 30 years, and it's a very small percentage of the people that have done something with it. It gets down to execution, and you two execute. You've grown tremendously in the last 10 years. Tell us about that growth. What have you learned? The challenges? How can you help the guy and the gal that was maybe in the spot you were in when I came to see you? What have you done? Like, what are you most proud of? Tell us a little bit about this journey.
I think for me, the biggest thing that I've learned over those years, and, you know, we started with you, but also at the same time doing a culture index that really lets us, you know, zero in on, you know, whether it's strength finders or whichever one you like, but to understand that everybody's not the same. They don't think the same way. Obviously, I think very quickly. And there's an assumption there. I used to have the assumption there that if I explained it to somebody once quickly, they were probably thinking exactly like I was.
Guilty of that.
Realizing too. That's not the way it happens. Right. So as much as it's not my internal drive is to slow down and explain everything to the nth degree, because I want to go quick and I want to fire away with things, I do think that's something that we've learned over time just from, you know, talking with other business owners at Grow or at peer group, or, you know, hearing them say some of the same things about their employees. Like, hey, I'm really not in a bad way, not a complaining way, but I'm struggling to get this person to understand X, right? And having those conversations, you learn a lot from other people of, hey, that's an awesome experience that you shared, that, you know, I'm going to try that, you know, see if I can connect with someone another way instead of just assuming that just because I'm thinking it doesn't mean they're thinking it too. Like, you have to over communicate.
And that I'm guilty of the same thing. I can't tell you how many times I facilitate a peer group meeting. I've been in the room with you and someone's saying something that's an issue in their company. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I have that same issue. And then once in a while, it's, oh my gosh, what they're complaining about their coworker doing. I do that. I cut people off. I don't explain myself. I can't tell you how that's helped me so much. I think sometimes, quite frankly, it's easier to see your own deficiencies when you see them in someone else. And you're like, am I like that too? Like, I got to knock that off if people want to stay here and work with me or want to be around me. Ryan, what have you learned in the last 10 years about leadership? And have you seen any changes in Annette's leadership? I'm going to ask Annette to tell me what she's seen in you that's changed. But what changes have you seen? Because to me, from afar, I've seen huge changes in you. And if you don't touch on it, I'll tell you what I've seen.
For Annette, for sure, that patience. And it kind of goes to, like, you know, several of us being like, hey, you know, you're assuming that everybody knows what you know.
Yeah.
And that's just not what's happening here. And, you know, gaining another layer of patience is probably what I'd see most from her.
Wow.
You know, in the workplace, because there's times where, especially, you know, I used to kind of chuckle of, like, we would get into meetings and the two of us together, because I'm fast paced as well. And, you know, we can be like two rabid dogs on people at times and not even like intending to do it. It's supposed to be a negative meeting or anything.
Well, there is a reason you're married and you're attracted to each other. I mean, that there is a reason for that. You do have a lot in common.
So, yeah, learning how to take a step back for me, especially, you know, it's similar in that I was very fast paced, but I was also at times could be emotional and, get frustrated. Years and years ago, I used to be a yeller. Mm-hmm. And, you know, understanding that it's not a productive way.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, winning with accountability, right?
Yep,
specificity.
Book. Right.
You know, that is always in the back of my head because I very frequently get going so fast with my thought process and what I want to happen and why you're still standing there. Let's go, let's move it. That I haven't explained all the steps. You know, especially as I've gotten older, I realize some of our younger team members, they don't know what they don't know. And if you don't tell them every step, you can't be mad at them afterwards.
Right.
Right. So taking our training, taking our explanation, taking our job tickets, all those things to another level of detail has probably been the biggest thing that I feel like, you know, slowly been able to improve upon.
Mm-hmm. And that, what have you seen in terms of Ryan's leadership that's changed? And then speak a little bit to your own as well.
Sure. Well, he definitely has a few more gray hairs. I saw a picture the other day where it's really, really dark. No, just kidding. No, I would say the big thing that's changed about Ryan as a leader is even the content of what he's talking about, right? So as we've grown, he's gone from the one talking to the crew leads and, you know, very hands-on, it's equipment, it's do it this way, it's details on the landscape job. Like, he'll still stop on jobs and, you know, and have that input. But what's really changed is, you know, having this understanding that, okay, well, there's another layer of people here now, you know, our leadership team, our production managers, our assistant managers, where they need to understand the business side. They don't know, again, if they don't know what they don't know, well, they didn't go into the lawn and landscape industry to, you know, read financials or understand like how our indirect time, you know, is sucking money out of the company because we're not, you know, driving enough in the morning. So it's different conversations, same thing. He has grown more patient and yells less. But, you know, really like just him finding that way to verbalize and really explain like why he makes the decisions that he's doing.
Yeah.
I'm seeing that really start to develop our leadership team where, you know, now they understand why he made that decision and they can turn around and employ some of the same tactics.
What about yourself?
That's cool.
How have you changed, do you feel?
I am definitely a little more patient, maybe a little less, I don't know if the word would be like grr, right?
Okay.
Like, I could definitely be very aggressive as I was younger. So trying to like, you know, pull that back a little bit and just explain things better and have a better demeanor. I think between that and you know, I'm not naturally the person that wants to be out in front. I'm, you know, this is my thing to want to do the grow show and have my own podcast and things like that. But being pushed to do it is good because it does make you,
have a
sense of what you're doing.
That was what I've seen. I've seen your I don't want to say you didn't have any confidence because when I had one-on-one meetings with you and Ryan, you were very sure of yourself. I remember you doing the culture index on myself and telling me how I was. And I'm like, I am like that. Oh my gosh. I've seen a sense of confidence. We've showed you off a lot in that, and you present very, very well. You know what you're talking about. And I think what I've seen happen to you is you know what you're talking about now. I think before you probably thought inside you did, but you were a little bit hesitant to vocalize it. And the sharing and the amount of people that you've mentored in the Grow Group at our events, the ways that you've shared, the way you've mentored your team and stepped down, I've seen a huge change. In Ryan, and this is going to sound a little more drastic, but I saw a person, quite frankly, that was looking for someone to blame. And he realized that you really don't get anywhere by doing that. And you just eat it and you figure out how to get better. And you say to yourself, what am I doing or not doing that's getting me the results I don't want? And you get to work. I think both of you have, with what you've done with that business, it's no accident. The majority of your growth is because of the way you lead your people and the genuine care and concern you have for them. I applaud you for that. When we did grow there and, you know, we were out to do the pre-work, and I want to touch on your new facility here in a minute, but I just saw two people that realized people are at the roots of the success of the business. And I think you became a lot better leaders in the last 10 years in the world, according to Marty. So Ryan, what do you not do any longer that you did, say, before we met, or just in this journey you've been on the last 10 years? What's changed about you as a leader?
That's a good question. Looking back,
I'm definitely, I don't lose my temper near as much.
Yeah.
I'm more thoughtful about, you know, if I have angst about something, I'll take a deep breath and think about a more constructive way. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned and throughout these years, you know, since we've gotten together and I've gotten a little bit older and
yep.
understand a better way of doing things.
And look, I'm not taking credit for that. I've just seen a change. I've changed in the time that you and I've met as well. You probably see maybe a more calmer version of myself as well. I think it's part of when you demonstrate a lot of emotional intelligence, which I think the three of us have, being a little self-serving, and you start growing as a team and you have leaders assuming responsibility and you're able to watch how they act towards your team and others, I think you pick up things such as, ooh, I don't really like how they said that, but you know what? I do that. I got to remove that from my leadership demonstration, or I really like how they handled that. I need to do it that way. Does that make sense? Do either of you see that?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we hired some really good people over the years.
Yeah.
And as much as we are teaching them things, you know, we learn from them as well.
I mean, that's what I find. And I think that as we go along and you grow a company, you make mistakes and you're humbled by the mistakes and you start to realize, and it's, you know, it's an abused adage, but people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. And I think you just start seeing the humanity of everyone in a little bit better spot. For a little bit of humor, is there anything that you did maybe in 2015 that you look back on and laugh today that you no longer do? I can show you what mine was.
Yeah, go ahead and start with yours. I'm just thinking through. We do a lot of things.
Well, it was for me, we used to have these radios that you'd call in and say where everyone was. And it was just too much looking at people. I mean, I look back on that. I look back on some of the complicated systems that I had that were, you know, had 23 steps when they probably should have had 4. Those are the two biggest things. This sounds terrible to admit, but I think for the purpose of everyone else getting better, I don't think I realized how smart some of my people were and what they were capable of doing. And I erroneously thought that if they wanted to do something, they had to raise their hand and come running and be all motivated for it. And I used to say, well, I can't motivate them. I've come to realize my job as a leader is to get everyone to see what their potential is. And you do have to push on them a little bit. And you do have to try to motivate them and get them to do things. And in doing that, we've been able to discover, I think it's kind of been like the person on the team didn't realize what they were capable of doing. We weren't sure. So we used to just sit back and say, get rid of them. They can't do it. Now we say, no, we got to give them a shot at this, a legitimate shot at this and see what they can do. And that's where I look back and kind of laugh, kind of sad, kind of realize, probably scared some people off from here that we could have handled better.
Yeah, 100%. There's definitely that look back and think of the good people that you lost that you shouldn't have. They should have done a better job of hanging on to.
Yeah, or maybe you didn't know what they were capable of doing. You didn't give them like a significant project to really see when the pressure was on them and the focus was totally on them, what they could do. And this could be something as simple as a number two guy on the crew you didn't think could run the crew because his shirt was always untucked. Well, maybe if you believed in him, maybe the shirt gets tucked in and maybe they feel a little better about themselves and confidence grows and they go. You see it in sports all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. The two things that come to mind that probably get a chuckle at, now it's a little mind-blowing, but the year before we met, I had just bought out my partner and my partner and I did all pricing within the company. Nobody else, we never discussed even an hourly rate for an irrigation tech was never even on the board. It was never. And back in 2015, there was a third, if not a half of the company, we'd decide what to do every morning. So there was no free scheduling. We would decide and the manager would come in and be like, what am I doing today?
Yeah.
And he'd have 8 people that were just waiting to get out the door. Now I think,
But that's great that you realize that. And that shows you how far you've come with that. And there were probably many other lessons you learned from that about being prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. We laugh about that now because, you know, we're upset if we're not a week out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, yeah, an evolution for sure.
And that, anything you can think of that maybe is a chuckle, or maybe it's not a chuckle, it's just a development?
Kind of in a similar path, you know, about halfway through that, we finally realized to stop shielding people from bad stuff, right? Like, we had a really terrible year where we were starting in the red, and we were super stressed out. And obviously everyone felt that, but, you know, we finally just told them why and just said, hey, look, here's where we're at. And that was a huge change. And in hindsight, kind of really dumb.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the other leaders at the company helped drive you out of that hole.
Yeah.
You got so to make
against. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And we were, you know, I'd say, at least myself, I was very trepidatious thinking that they would think, oh, geez, you guys are a bunch of idiots. You must not know what you're doing if you're in this situation. Like, why am I working here? And it was the complete opposite. Like, everyone was just like, we can do this. Okay. Like, let's talk about it. And, you know, they just started getting wheels in motion. And that was huge.
Awesome. Couple more questions. We're on the Grow Show today, powered by Steel, with Annette and Ryan McCarthy, the dynamic husband-wife crew that is in Des Moines, Iowa, with RJ Lawn and Landscape. 4 years ago, I believe it was when you made a significant investment in the new facility that you're emanating from today. It's awesome. We're showing pictures of it now. Was it worth it? When I see your facility, and this is the world according to Marty, I see a balance between practicality and investment. Like, you folks didn't go crazy on granite countertops and doors that were harvested from the bottom of Lake Erie and turned into works of art. I mean, to me, you really thought through your building well. There's a lot of natural light. It's not the Taj Mahal. It's lovely. It is lovely. But I think you found a balance. Was it worth it financially? Was it worth it with the planning? How have you seen benefits from a building? Because I see, quite frankly, the biggest mistake that some of the owners we work with are, they opt to have a nice building in a bad location. I think you're better off having a mediocre building in a good location because of all the driving and the investment and what you're trying to do. And I get we want to put on our social media and show off, but tell us a little bit about what the building's done for you. And is there anything you would have done differently about that?
Well, certainly, just like building a house, right? And, you know, there's always things that you look back and you have hindsight's 2020, and I wish I would have done this or done that. But overall, like, we're super pleased with that. It was, you're right. I mean, we wanted it to be really nice. We wanted our people to be proud to come to work every day, to bring their family by and kind of show them, you know, that it's not just your run of the mill. Yeah. You know, for us, it would have cost a fraction of the money to go out in the country even 4 more miles
right
on a gravel road and put a metal building up, and we could have done it literally for probably a third of the price. But that's not what we were going yeah. after. It certainly helped in recruiting. I truly believe that, and you know, it's driven a lot of growth. You know, it was a little nerve-wracking when we first did it and first started going down the road of construction, but it doesn't take long to fill it up.
Right.
And to, you know, we've expanded the parking lot twice now.
Good thing.
You know, and part was the driver for the new construction project that we've added. Almost, I think we're 2 weeks out and we'll have the new building done, but that additional parking was essential because we had run out of parking for the third time again, which, kind of hard to believe in 6 years, but you know, I would definitely say it was worth the investment long term for us individually, certainly as well. I mean, that was something that we kept in mind. Someday when we decide, you know, to move on, we wanted an investment property that somebody else would have interest in, and whether it's, you know, hopefully it's RJ continuing on indefinitely, right? But you know, if that is not the case, you want something that
you can resell, right?
Yeah.
And that, what are your comments on the facility?
Yeah. I mean, I love to come to work every day. You spend a fair amount of your time at work. So having a space that's nice, like you talked about, daylight, you know, lots of windows, you know, as much as it is a recruiting tool, and yeah, people come here and are like, wow, you'll see them bring their whether it's their spouse or their parents, you know, they'll send us a text like, hey, I'm not creeping, but I want to take my parents by the office on Saturday. Like, is that okay?
Yeah.
That's very cool. I think as well, whether it's, you know, if we're meeting with a new vendor, a new client, you know, we're courting someone and they come here and they give almost every single time they're like, wow, your office is really nice. Yes. You know, it's kind of a surprise factor. And I think it helps to know why we're a little bit different than our competitors, right?
Yeah.
It does make us stand apart. It also tells people like, we're not going anywhere.
Yes.
Right. Like if you give a 10-year warranty on your hardscapes, what good is it if you're operating out of your garage or down a gravel road in a rundown barn or something? You know, it gives that client that comfortability that, you know, you are going to withstand that test of time. So is their project.
I love it. Great insight. So and this is a little bit of a controversial question. There's more men in this industry than women. I think that's a fact. How has that impacted you as a leader?
You know, I think you can easily get a chip on your shoulder to start. You know, I used to say these things before I even worked at RJ. I was in construction. So same thing, right? Like, I guess I'm just like pain points. Still, I keep signing up for it. But I used to say some of these things and Ryan would be like, yeah, okay, right? Until he actually saw it. So definitely there's a part where it can be frustrating that, you know, I can say the exact same thing that he's going to say. Word for word, it is absolutely the right answer. And, you know, you'll have someone who'll kind of, okay, well, is there anybody else I can talk to? You can get really chippy about it, or you can just get confident. Like, yes, I have the right answer. It's fine. That's a you problem. I'll give them to someone else that has a deeper voice and they'll say the exact same thing and, you know, move on with it. But I think it's also very indicative of, it's not just about being a woman. I think that right now, people do this with younger people, right? Like, oh, you're a millennial. You know, everybody's got their opinions on that. Like, they're not willing to work. They're not willing to do this. It's really easy to slide down that slope and, you know, inadvertently be doing that same thing based on something they can't control, which is their age, because there are really good people in that age range, whether it's women, it's being younger, coming from outside of the industry. You know, really just giving people a chance to, you know, show what they have to give rather than, you know, just giving back what you think they're showing you just by what they look like.
I was trying to be quiet, folks. That is one of the best points that we've ever made on the Grow Show. This is episode 130 something. And that might be the best thing I've ever heard anyone say. And I think it's so true. And as me watching you say this, what comes to my mind is, you know, we can either choose to be the victim or we can be the solution. You know, and you're choosing to be the solution. You're choosing to brush that aside, give someone the benefit of the doubt, and just keep leading. And I think that is very well said. And I think your parallel there where you draw young people into it, when you say that, I'm like, yeah, I don't know that I've thought about it that way. And it's the same. It's still, you're passing judgment on someone that you really shouldn't be passing judgment on. What? Because they're 21, they don't have a good idea. Because they're a 21-year-old young man, they don't have a good idea. Because they're a 21-year-old young woman, they don't have a good idea. I mean, it really doesn't matter what your sex is. It matters what you bring to the table, your attitude, your desire, you know, the things that you've accomplished so far. I think what you just said there is beautiful. I think there's so much that we could take away from there on leadership. Thank you. It was awesome.
Really helps. I'd acknowledge Ryan and the others on our team too, that they see it now. Right. Like after, you know, working side by side and, you know, him being in the same meetings and seeing some of that, it was like, oh, that is no joke. That really is a thing that's happening. So like right now we have a very young account manager. So we're just like, that's life. That's just how people are going to treat you. You've got to get over it. You know, don't let that be the thing that holds you back. Like just stay confident with your answers.
Right.
Because you have the right answers. You're well-trained, you're well-spoken, you're going to win in the end.
Right. Do you two get sick of each other? How do you keep your marriage so strong?
All the time.
Well, I have to say one thing I've noticed, if you two argue, it's not in front of your team or me or groups. I've never seen it. I've only seen you be supportive of one another. And I mean that sincerely. I've been married 32 years. You know, my wife, she's a lovely lady. I don't know that we could work together. I just don't. And I see what you do. And I think it's awesome. How do you do that?
I think it's, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about just staying in your own lane and respecting what the other does. So, you know, whether that's me to Ryan or Ryan to me, or even me to say like our turf manager, right? Like, you know, to the effect of, do we ever argue? Sure, we do. We don't always agree on everything, but to do it in front of other people that brings down their respect for the other is not fruitful. So same as, you know, I might not agree with something our turf manager is doing, unless it's like a safety issue or something that needs to stop right away. It does no good to step in and start arguing in front of other people about it. And I think those conversations are better one-on-one outside of like, well, explain to me what your thinking was so I can, you know, not just assume what you're doing, you know, talk through like, hey, here's another way. You know, I think marriage is somewhat like that too, of just understanding that you're not always going to think the same way. So you can have the conversation. At least you can maybe see through the other person's eyes. You know, it helps at the end of the day that I am actually always right. So Ryan just goes with it. That helps a ton. No, just joking. But it, you know, it is that kind of give and take. And I don't treat him any differently than anybody else here at work. Nor does he. You know, we're just being professionals the way I work at it. As far as the marriage goes, I think I was tempted to say something about the expanding our parking lot. If we could just get people to carpool more, but you know, I've got my little, you know, Marty-isms over here. So there's the leader.
Yeah.
And we both really appreciate that 15, 20 minute drive. We don't ride together every day.
Yep.
Sometimes we do. It's not perfect, but you know, finding what that little thing is that you just need to reset before you get home. You know, we listen to different things in the car.
Beautiful.
Just having your own time.
Ryan, how can you top that? What do you have to add?
You know, I think we were both on the same page when we were younger that we wanted a teammate. I didn't think of my wife as like the person that's going to like cook me meals and do my laundry. And, you know, I wanted somebody that was going to run alongside of me.
Yeah.
And definitely, I think I found that. And just like a good teammate, right? You don't have arguments during the game. You know, you're still going to have arguments. You're still going to have good games and bad games. And, you know, you take that to the right time, you know, afterwards you're in practice and, you know, you get through the hard times. And to me, that's how I view it, is if we want it to work and we want to be successful, like there's got to be that mutual respect. And you know, as long as we're both aligned, like that's what's important to me.
Well, we have a lot of companies that have husband and wives working in them. What you folks just laid down there is leadership gold. And I can tell you, this isn't rhetoric that they're talking about, or you're not going to go over there and find out that it's something completely different, because I've been around you folks too many times to list, and I've seen you in action. I think as I'm sitting here looking at both of you, I don't think RJ would be where it is if it weren't for both of you. I think if you, Ryan, were there by yourself, I don't think RJ would be where it is right now if Annette weren't there. And Annette, I think if you were there by yourself, not having Ryan, and the two of you are just a great team. And I'm grateful for your business and your support, but I'm also grateful for your friendship. A lot of marriages don't work out. It's one of the sad things in my mind, and yours works great, and you make it work at work. And that's tough too. So I commend both of you, and I thank you for sharing today on the Grow Show powered by Steel.
Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Annette.
Yeah, we enjoyed being on.
Well, it's always fun. Okay, folks, that's going to do it on this week's edition of the Grow Show powered by Steel. If you haven't done so already, subscribe to the Grow Show. And if you can, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more success-minded landscape professionals find us. And if you really want to help us and you're listening to this on your phone, take your phone out right now and forward it on to them. Thanks for joining us this week on The Grow Show. We'll talk to you next week.
Join Marty Grunder and the Grow Group team for the annual event for landscape pros. Grow 2026 will be held on February 10th through 12th, 2026 in Dallas, Texas, and feature a behind-the-scenes tour of complete land sculpture alongside breakout sessions diving deeper into the topics we cover each week on The Grow Show. Early bird pricing ends on November 1. Register this month to lock in the best rate.